Good evening, everybody. Tonight is a continuation of last week's shiur. And the reason why I'm continuing last week's shiur is because after the shiur last week, a lot of people had asked me questions that I feel I wanted to address in a more complete manner than I had the time to do last week. So we're going to continue with the cosmology topic. And to review what we had last week, we're going to go through the Yerushalmi and Ksuvos. The Yerushalmi says as follows. It's talking about the halachas of a girl that becomes 3 years old. Now, just as an introduction to what Yerushalmi is going to say, we know, al pi shnai meidim yakum dovor, that whatever two witnesses say, the halacha follows. We also know there's a halacha called eidim zoyimim, vasisim lo kasher zomam la'asai shliachiv. It means that if the witnesses that came to Beis Din and testified are contradicted in a certain way by other witnesses, in a certain way that's called hazama, the first pair of witnesses can be discredited, and we follow the second pair. So now let's see what a halacha would say. Two witnesses come, and they say they saw the new moon. Now it becomes Rosh Chodesh. Beis Din assumes it's Rosh Chodesh in regard to all halachas, what day to make Yom Tov. For example, and another example is, and this is a review of last week, we're continuing, another halacha is the halacha of the legal age where a girl is considered that a maisabia done to her or with her is considered an actual maisabia. A girl under 3 years old, it's considered not done. A girl over 3 years old, it's considered done. If a girl is born, let's say, on Rosh Chodesh, or a few days after Rosh Chodesh, or whatever the case may be, Beis Din determines all the halachas of this woman based upon the testimony of the witnesses. And by the way, there's seats all over the place. You could, duck under the cameras and go over there if you like. If witnesses come and say that it's Rosh Chodesh, Beis Din assumes it's Rosh Chodesh. If another pair of witnesses comes to discredit the first pair, now we would say it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore. And all halachas that were done because we assumed previously that it was Rosh Chodesh get undone. If, let's say, witnesses come and they say that somebody killed someone else, and those witnesses are discredited through Hazama. So what happens is that we realize that we made a mistake, that the murderer, the person was really not a murderer. If we paskind already that the defendant was a murderer, we punish the false witnesses and we murder them instead of the defendant. So, when witnesses come to discredit the first pair of witnesses, we assume that everything the first pair of witnesses said is false. If the first pair of witnesses say that person A damaged person B so that he owes him money and he pays him money, then the second pair of witnesses come and they discredit the first pair, so he gives back the money. He gives back the money. So let's go back to our case with Rosh Chodesh. The witnesses come, and the witnesses say that it's now Rosh Chodesh, and this little girl is now officially 3 years old. Biologically, when she's 3 years old, she has Pesulim. New witnesses come, and the witnesses discredit the first pair of witnesses. Now we would assume that we made a mistake and that the girl really isn't 3 years old. And any halachas that would have been applied based on the testimony of the first witnesses would be undone to whatever extent we can undo them. But the Yerushalmi says something more than this. The Yerushalmi says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yovin. Rabbi Yovin says and brings a pasuk into Tehillim. Ekra l'elokim elyon. I call out to Hashem. L'kel goymer alai. And Hashem responds to me. Hashem answers me. Bas shalosh shonim v'yom echad. If somebody's, a girl is 3 years old in one day, because of the testimony of witnesses, and that's the only way she can become 3 years old in one day. V'nimlochin bezdin. And Bezdin changed their minds, meaning that the first pair of witnesses were discredited. Let's say in this particular case, we're talking about an Ibiyor where we had to add an extra month. And now because of that, she's not 3 years old anymore. Habasulin choizrim. The Basulin come back. It's not telling us a new halacha. Because without this three lines of Gemara, without this drasha from the Pasuk, we would assume that she's less than 3 years old, and the Basulim Choizrim anyway. Here the Gemara is saying clearly that there's an extra thing happening over here. The Imlav Ein HaBasulim Choizrim. Clearly the Gemara is saying that there's a biological change over here because of the witnesses. And the Korban Pnei Moshe says on the spot, the commentary on the side of the Gemara, Ivy Dairi, it really is not telling us any extra halachas here. But incidentally, that we're speaking about B'Pchusmi Bas Gimel, the B'Sul El Choizrim, the Gemara was just discussing the fact that a girl less than 3 years old, the B'Sulim El Choizrim, there's incidentally to that, Maisi Lola Haikro de Darshinan Mine, it tells us this Pasik. Pasik's not telling us any halacha that we did not know. And there's no halachic reason for the Gemara to say this whole thing. It's just incidental. It tells us, Shakadish Baruch Hu Maskim and Bezdin Shel Mata. Hashem agrees with the Bezdin. Shim Hi Kfar Bas Gimel V'Nimlochen HaBezdin Labra HaShona Basulim Choyzer Metzlo Liach HaShinivala. That the Basulim grow back. Sha'af HaTeva Maskemes Alehem. Nature agrees with the Bezdin. Aidei Gzeiroso Yiz'ala Baruch Hu. Because of Hashem's Gzeira. Now the reason I'm going through that Yerushalmi is to respond to the question that was asked last week by you. Whether there's a way to understand the Yerushalmi that it doesn't mean that there's some natural change, but rather we should treat her like that. And I'm saying that the Yerushalmi is not telling us any halacha that we did not know before. Without this little piece of Yerushalmi, we would not treat her like a three-year-old. With the Yerushalmi, we do not treat her like a three-year-old, just. Instead of the Yerushalmi saying, like by all witnesses, that it was a mistake, it's not a mistake. It was real, and now it becomes unreal. The Shach, in Yerideyes and in Kuf Peites, the Hilchas Nida, Halacha, the Shach discusses this. And he brings over here, Kol ma shebezden shalamata oisim, Bezdin Shalamalam Askimim Mohim. Everything that the Bezdin down here does, the Bezdin upstairs agrees. Dechsiv Asher Tikru Oysom, Asher Tikru Oysom B'Mayadim. V'af B'Chidushi HaGuf Kein. Even in physical things, it's like that. U'Kamo Shadoshu Chazal V'Lekel Goymer Elai. And he brings the Yerushalmi. And he brings the Rosh and other Rishonim that say this as well. This is the Shach that say this is a physical thing. And the Shach, honestly, I did not get the Shach from my great expertise in Yerideya. I got it from the Gra in Aderes Eliyahu. The Gra in Shnois Eliyahu, he brings this Shach, he brings this Yerushalmi, and he says, it's brought down in Shach Yerideya, and says the Gra, V'yim hoise bas gimel shonu v'yoyim echad v'yachar kach ibru bezin es ha-shonu b'suleha choizrim, v'akadish baruch hu mishana ha-teva. And Hashem changes nature. Chasam Sofer also says, "Ho'emes yeridarkoi, ki zeha kol nivna al aklola de kail hayushalmi lekel goymer elai." After a long drosha, the Chasam Sofer explains that the principles that he's discussing are based on the Yerushalmi, that I just mentioned, v'hashayrish, the root of this thing, the root of this principle is d'hateva meshubedes l'teresenu hakdoisha. Nature is bound. Nature is subjugated to our Torah. Whatever our Torah says, nature changes in order to make the Torah. Ubesula shinivala, afal pi shial pi teva kvar godla zman haroi shle yachzur habesulim. Even though this girl is old enough, if you count the days, she's old enough to be considered over 3 years old. Mikol mokam kevan sheibru bezdin hachoydish, hateva mishubedis l'teira, v'huchlish koicho, v'choyzeres besuleho. It's a biological thing that happens. She gets weaker, and the besulim get back. And the same thing with a 13-year-old, he says. The Shem Mishmuel says that this is pshat in the Yevonim. The Yevonim made gzeiros against the Jews on Hanukkah. They had three problems with what the Jews did. Whenever there's a shmad, sometimes the people that make gzeiros against the Jews don't want the Jews to be at all religious. Sometimes they want them to convert. The Yevonim didn't want the Jews to convert. They didn't care if they're religious totally. They just cared about certain things. We know that they cared about Shabbos. We know that they cared about Bris Milah. And those two make sense because in those two things, Jews are unique. Jews are separate from the non-Jews in that they have a Bris Milah. And Shabbos, only Jews keep Shabbos. The Goyim don't keep Shabbos. Maybe they keep on Sunday, whatever it is, but we keep Shabbos. But the Shem Yishmuel asks, what about Rosh Chodesh? What was their problem with Rosh Chodesh? They didn't want, in fact, not only do the Jews keep Rosh Chodesh, but the other religions also that keep Rosh Chodesh like the Jews. In the olden days, I said this over in Shul about, it was last year, that when, in the days of the Rishonim, when people went to Eretz Yisrael, and the Muslims were there, the Muslims were very good to the Jews, and they said because the Jews, similar to the Muslims, they keep the lunar year. And they looked at them like, you know, we're pals. You keep the lunar year, we keep the lunar year. And particularly the Karoyim were very, very similar to the Muslims keeping the lunar year. But Rosh Chodesh, why did the Yevonim not want Rosh Chodesh? And the Shem Yishmuel says, because of this Yerushalmi. Because the Rosh Chodesh is not just we're marking a date on the calendar. What the Yevonim didn't want is that the Jews should control the world. The Jews controlled the Teva. Because of this Din Besulim Chodeshim, that whatever the Jews were Mekadosh the Chodesh, that all nature changed because of that. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. That's the first mitzvah, and that's the first place that Klal Yisrael became connected to Hashem, because that's the first mitzvah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. And the significance of this Rosh Chodesh being the first mitzvah is that from this Rosh Chodesh we see that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Meshana the Teva for Klal Yisrael. Shem Yishmuel brings down the name of his father, the Avnei Nezer. In the Tshuvas Be'er Sheva, it says as well, he explains the Yerushalmi, and he explains what the Yerushalmi is doing there. As I said, the Yerushalmi is not telling us any extra halacha that we don't know. Kedei shlo yishel hashoyolech efshe shetiyech hazaris habesulim shi dovar tivi batoili be'ibur shel chodesh. How in the world does it make any sense, he said. The Yerushalmi is asking, how in the world does it make any sense that a girl's age is dependent upon when witnesses come to see the new moon? Count how old she is, and then you'll see she's 3 years old. The answer is, Al titma, ki Hashem yizbaruch mi'acher u'memaher chazores ha'besulim lefima shebezdin koivim hashanim bi'iburim. V'zehu dechsiv l'kel goymer alai, pirish. Goymer u'maskim lebezdin shalmala bi'iburim u'machadesh ha'teva kefi ritzoinam. Hashem renews nature according to what Bezdin paskins. V'im ibroi hashana besuleho choizrim. Now, I ask anybody, and anybody means specifically anybody, is there any other possible explanation at all of this Yerushalmi that squares with what the Yerushalmi says. Again, it doesn't teach us any halacha. Without this, we would have the same halacha. The only thing it's telling us is there's an extra drasha of a pasuk that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to what the Beis Din says. Without this pasuk, we would know Vasisam like Kasher Zomam. We undo everything the Eidim Zomamim do. We would undo this also. There's a special pasuk over here that's telling us something different. That HaKadosh Besulim HaChayzrim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that. Is there any? I'm asking. The reason I'm asking is because we explained at the beginning that last week, after the shiur, especially since people left early, wasn't early, they left late, but not so late, and some people late after that late, but not for the whole thing. Different people came out with, like, you know, you have 10 people watching the same thing, and they have 10 different versions of the car accident. So people were very, very confused. They didn't know, like, what was said, what wasn't said, what's supposed to be said. So before we continue this year from last week, I just want to clarify, is it possible that there should be any other pshat? Never mind the shach and the gro, and everybody says that's clear, this is what it is, and that this gemara has been touted. This is not something that, a little gemara inside, that I pulled out of my hat. Sometimes I may do that another time, but this is very well known, and it's been touted for hundreds and hundreds of years in all our sforim as the example that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes nature based upon Chazal's conclusions, based upon Beis Din's conclusions. And what we see from here clearly is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishana the Teva for the Jews. I honestly don't see any, I mean, I have more, but I'm sure this is enough. The Ben Ish Chai and the Kedushas Levi and from the Rishonim and from the Achronim. But they're all saying the same thing over here. I don't know of any dissenting opinion. I don't know that there could be any dissenting opinion, because again, the Gemara here is not telling us any new halacha. The halacha would be the same with or without this. The Gemara is clearly telling us here a special din, that we get our information, that Beis Din Shalmaila gets its information regarding nature from our Torah, meaning the Torah that Beis Din paskins. And with this, we're going to continue last week's shir, to take it to the next step. Question. Chazal in many places make various different statements. Most of the statements are halachic statements, but a lot of the statements have to do with nature. For example, the Chazal talk about the gestation period of a snake. Chazal talk about the lice. Chazal talk about various things. Where did Chazal get their scientific information from? From where? There's one answer, and one answer only, and it's all over Chazal. And I must express gratitude to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who wrote about this in a Sefer and collected Kedarkei Bakodesh, many, many Chazals explaining this principle. There is one place that Chazal got their knowledge of science from, and one place only. They got their knowledge of science from the Torah. They did not get their science from scientists of. They did not get their knowledge of scientists of science from anywhere else. They got their knowledge of science from the Torah. The Medrash says. Medrash in Tehillim quotes Shmuel. Everybody knows the famous quote from Shmuel, that Shmuel said he's an expert in Shvili Dereki as much as Shvili Dinahardo. Shmuel knows what's going on in the sky and the stars as well as he knew the streets of Nahardo. Now to me, and I said this in Shul many times, the Chiddush to me is that he knew the streets of Nahardo. What does Shmuel know about the streets of Nahardo? But he knew. Nahardo must have been very small. But Shmuel says he knew the Shvili Dereki like the Shvili de Nahardo. And the Gemara and the Medrash Tehillim number Yud Tes asks, how did Shmuel know the Shvili Dereki? is Shmuel then a, did Shmuel go up there? How does he know? Now the Medrash could have said, well, he was an astronomer. But still, astronomers, especially in those days, had limitations of what they know. They didn't have, like what we have today, these big telescopes and stuff. But that's not what the Medrash says. The Gemara says, the Medrash says that he knew it all through the Torah. It then quotes Rabbi Hoshea as making a claim that there's some kind of space between the upper waters and the Rakia. And the Medrash says, how in the world could Rabbi Hoshea possibly know that unless he traveled to space? That's the Medrash asks. And the Medrash says he knew it from the Torah. The Gemara in Bechoris Daf Ches derives from a posuk in Bereishis about the gestation period of a snake. It says it's more than the rest of the animal kingdom. Whatever. The Ramban in Sefer Torah Hashem Tamimo uses this as but one example. He has several of how Chazal knew facts of science from Psukim in the Torah that describe Brias HaOlam. And he says the sages of Klal Yisrael have knowledge through these Psukim of all creation. The same skills and the same authority that Chazal used to explain Pshat in a Pasuk, when they said B'shoch b'chov kumecha means that you have to say Shema when you during the time when you go to sleep and the time when you wake up, they said that these scientific things are true, the Shvili Derekia, how long it takes the snake to give birth, so on and so forth. Related to this, there's a Medrash Rabbah that says that the elders of Rome asked Rabban Gamliel about the gestation period of a snake. Rabban Gamliel didn't know. He said, I don't know. And he was upset because he didn't know. He later met Rabbi Yeshua that day, and he saw that something was bothering Rabban Gamliel. When Rabbi Yeshua asked Rabban Gamliel what's the matter, Rabban Gamliel said that he was asked a question he was unable to answer. Rabbi Yeshua said, what were you asked? And Rabbi Yeshua says, how long does a snake take to give birth? Said Rabbi Yeshua, 7 years. Rabban Gamliel asked him, how do you know this? Said Rabbi Yeshua, it's a pasuk in the Torah. And Rabbi Yeshua explains what the pasuk is. And he said he has a raya from the Torah that way. The Medrash Rabbah has a story with some non-Jewish person named Bar Yochani. Bar Yochani wanted to prepare a big party for the Roman noblemen. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi was there at the time, and he said, let me ask advice of one of my countrymen, Bar Yochani thought. He asked advice of Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi. Rabbi Eliezer advised him to prepare for a few more people than he invited, just to make sure the guests will have enough food. Sage advice. Instead, what Bar Yochani did was that he invited 25 people and he prepared only for 24. He did like the airplanes preparing seats. He figured somebody's probably not going to come anyway. He assumed people would leave over food and there would be enough leftovers for the extra guest. It turned out, however, that all 25 guests only wanted one item, either an artichoke or a date. It's a shiloh. They both wanted all wanted this item. And there was only enough for 24. The results were humiliating. The extra guest got upset, and Bar Yochani took out gold and gave it to the guest that was missing the artichoke, or the date. The guest took the gold and threw it back at Bar Yochani. Do I eat gold? Am I someone that needs your gold? I want my food. He protested. Bar Yochani went back to Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi, whose advice would have saved him a lot of trouble, and asked him, Does Hashem disclose to you the secrets of the Torah only, or also the secrets of how to make parties, or the secrets of feasts? Rabbi Eliezer answered, yes, he discloses to us even knowledge about feasts. And Rabbi Eliezer explained to him that his advice was based on a proof from a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Chaim Kanievsky brings a raya from these midrashim, as well as many more, that quote, someone who is busy and involved with the Torah does not need any science, for all the sciences in the world are included in the Torah. We find that all the knowledge of the sciences Chazal learned from the Torah. And the reason why this is so is because there's a rule, and nobody disagrees with this. Histakel b'raisu bara olmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world by looking in the Torah. The only reason the world is created, we mentioned last week, is in order to fulfill the Torah. Everything in this world, every atom, every molecule, every microscopic bug, is here only because it has some relation to something that it says in the Torah. And therefore, if somebody understands everything it says in the Torah, he would understand everything it says in the world. The Ramban, in the introduction to the to his Perush on Torah, says that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by Hashem on Har Sinai not only the secrets of Maaseh Merkava, but the process of creation, nature, vegetation, beasts, chickens, and fish. All natural things, says the Ramban, quote, of all of this Moshe was informed, and it was written in the Torah, all of nature was written in the Torah, either explicitly or implicitly. And then he continues to the Ramban, to quote what I mentioned last week, that Shlomo HaMelech understood all his wisdom from the Torah as well. These Midrashim are clear. There's no dissenting opinion in the Midrashim. This is where Chazal got their information from. Some scientific facts were known, therefore, from a tradition from Har Sinai, the Rashba. A Rishon cites such a tradition from Har Sinai that a Trefa can't live more than 12 months. A Trefa means, not like we say colloquially that this meat is treif because it doesn't have a hashgacha. Treifa means a particular type of not kosher. Literally, the legal definition of treif, the literal real definition of treif, means that it was mutilated or torn or they were injured. There was something about the animal that makes it non-kosher because it's not whole. Treif literally means torn. That's what the word is. If you pig is technically not treif, it's just a pig. Some animal who you don't shecht is not treif, it's technically nevela. We could call it treif, but technically treif just means the animal was torn. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz writes, la halacha, that we have a tradition from Har Sinai that a treif cannot live more than 12 months. And he writes that even if these type of traditions are against all the laws of heaven and earth, they're still part of Torah Shebal Peh. And just like the rest of Torah Shebal Peh, they are part of our requirements of Emunah and its Emes Lamitoy from Har Sinai. Rabbeinu Yoino also says that all the science is included in the Torah. He says this on his commentary, Hafoichbo, Hafoichbo, Dekulobo. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, it says, delve into the Torah more and more. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, says the Mishnah, Dekulobo, because everything is in the Torah. Rabbeinu Yoina explains, because it means all the sciences in the world are included in the Torah. There's a sefer, a commentary on Mishnah, is called Mizgeres HaZohov. This is not a Rishon, it's an Achron. He explains the superiority of the science of Chazal over the science of the scientists. Let's see, can you do me a favor? Under that sefer from the Rambam, there's that, right, on Pirkei Avos. He says as follows, Mizgeres HaZohov. It's on the Mishnah, it says, Oimer ha'oimer mano ilon zeh, mano nir zeh, harizem ischayv benafsha. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that if somebody's learning, and in the middle of his learning, he's distracted by a beautiful tree, for example, and he says, oh, how beautiful is this tree? Instead of learning, he interrupts his learning, and he says, how beautiful is this tree? Such a person, ischayv benafsha, he's committing suicide. He's suicidal. Or deserves to die, some type of translation like that. Mischayev ben Afshoy means he deserves to lose his life. Explains the sefer that there are two types of ways to get information. If you take a look at the cause, and then you derive the effect because of the cause, he says in foreign language, Balaz, it's called a priori. That if you, let's say I know the cause, I know that a guy is jumping off the roof. So a guy's jumping off the roof of the Empire State Building, I know he's going to get hurt. How do I know? Because jumping off the roof is the cause. Flying down is the effect of that cause. Hitting the ground hard is the effect of that cause. And physical trauma is the effect of that cause. So I know the causes, and from the causes I derive the effects. The second one, Hasoga mehamu'ukhar el hamuktam, the opposite. Min hamasoyvav el hasi, I see the effects, and then I figure out the cause of. I see a guy laying on the bottom of the Empire State Building, on the ground, smashed. I can derive that that what happened was he jumped off. That's called bilaz. He doesn't say.
Posteriori.
Like posterior from the back. Okay. Yeshevdel godel ben beis drachim ki rak min hasoga rishoina hu koilelis vehechroches. Which is a better way of knowing things? Obviously, the first way. Because you take a look at the guy, you're supposed to figure out that he fell off the Empire State Building. That's probably true. But it's not muchrach. Could be somebody just smashed him on the floor. The first way, however, where you know the causes and you're deriving the effects, that's a much more accurate way of understanding things. Only the first way, it's proven. If you know the cause, you can figure out the effects, because the cause leads to the effect. The second way, you're acting like a detective, you're Sherlock Holmes over here, but it's not muchrach. Just because you see a guy laying there, that doesn't mean he fell off the Empire State Building. If a guy falls off, and you know the causes, it means that he's going to be hurt. But just because you see him hurt, it doesn't mean he fell off the Empire State Building. You know what just happens to have occurred. And therefore, that's the superiority of Torah science, science derived from the Torah versus science derived from the nature. And there's a very similar word from the Brisker Rav. Briskerov said, Pshat and Pasuk in Koheles, that Yisroin ha'chochmum min ha'sichlus ke Yisroin ha'or min ha'choshech. That the advantage of wisdom over foolishness is like the advantage of light over darkness. Said the Briskerov, if you're in a dark room, you could figure out what the room looks like. You could walk around, you can touch things, you can bump into things, and you could figure out, using your brain, what the room looks like. But if you turn on the lights, you don't need to be a detective. You can see what the room looks like. The difference, he says, between the Jewish chazal, the Jewish science information versus the Torah science information versus the Goyish science information, the Jewish science, if we look in the Torah, that's the cause. It's like having the lights on. The scientists do experiments, they do, they take a look at the effects, and from that they figure out the causes. Says the Misgeres HaZohov, that's Pshat and Pasuk. Isa es achoyrai uponai lo yiro. Veda, shiadiyas ha'anoishis, hainu, alidei his boinunus beteva habriya. Hainu begeder hama'ukhar al hamuktam. Scientists know the cause by observing the effects. Sheinenu koilelas. Varak yadiyas ha'toyu ha'kadoisha ki hi koilelas vehechroches. Dahare kodish boruchu histakel boi raisu boro omo. And this is Pshat in the Mishnah. Hamahalich baderech. A person is going on his derech and avodas Hashem. He's learning Torah. And from the Torah, he sees the world. And he interrupts that derech. And he starts learning science. It's all from the backwards. It's from the effect to the cause. Zehu murumis behepech haseidu detoni ilon koydem lanir. That's pshat harizem eschayiv benafshoy. The Maram Shik says a similar pshat. And by the way, for those who would like to know who the Misgeres HaZohov was, you may not have known him, but you probably knew his father. His father was the Tiferes Yisroel. This was the son of the Tiferes Yisroel. That's what he wrote. The Chasam Sofer, in two places that I know of, could be there's more, writes that this is the Pshat and Pasuk. Kihi chochmoscha, chochmoschem ubinaschem la'inei ha'amen. Chazal were great experts, he says, in secular sciences. In fact, He says you need to know a lot of secular knowledge in many areas in order to properly understand the Torah. And he gives many simple examples. If anybody ever learned Chulin, to Shech de Behema, you have to know what a Kana is, what a Voishit is, and what a Trefa is, you have to know a lot. However, he says, since we're supposed to be busy learning Torah, not secular science, Vahagisa bo yom v'layla, and Hashem has no nachas ruach at all from learning secular sciences, if a guy goes to Shemayim and he tells Hashem, I'm a big scientist, he's not going to go to Gan Eden for that. Hashem doesn't have nachas ruach from that. Hashem has nachas ruach from people learning Torah. So how could Chazal have known all the secular wisdom that they clearly knew, as we see from Shas? His answer, he says, that they knew it from the Torah. Since the entire nature, entire body of secular wisdom is the world is included in the Torah, because Torah is the blueprint of the world. And so when the Goyim see that the Jews do not study secular science books at all, and we even disagree with the Goyim, and we derive all our secular knowledge in the most precisely accurate form, from our Torah, the Goyim will explain, Am Chochom v'Novon HaGoy HaGodol HaZeh. Says the Chasam Sofer, our prophets and our sages knew all the sciences much better than the scientists, even though all they learn is Torah. This is because the one with a capital O who created with a capital W nature informs our sages of the correct facts. And this is what amazes the nations. Am Novin v'chochem ha-goy ha-godel hazeh. And by the way, just for the record, there are two other people I know that say this pshat in Am Novin v'chochem. The Ramak, the Kabbalist, the Ramak, and the Ravid. Not the Ravid who disagrees with the Rambam, the first Ravid. He preceded the Rambam, the philosopher, the Ravid, who, by the way, most of the main points of the Mor Nevuchim were already stated by this Ravid. In the Sefer Hamuna Harama. It's just that he wasn't, I would imagine that his Sefer did not become nearly as famous as the Mor Nevuchim because the Rambam was the Rambam. And it was a big difference between him and the Rambam in terms of who they were. But this same pshat, the Poisik, the Chasam Sofer, the Kabbalist, the Ramak, and the philosopher, the Ravid, they all say the exact same pshat. Now, it's clear from the Midrashim, from the Gemara, from the Rishonim, the Ramban and others, and the Achronim, that Chazal got their information of science from the Torah. Question, is it possible that even though they got their information from the Torah, they also could have gotten some information from other sources too, like scientists as well? Doesn't mean all their information they got from the Torah, or doesn't mean they also got information from the Torah? So you know, you could go to a Rav, you can go to Rav Eliashiv, and ask him a Shaila, and he can tell you an answer, and then he can find out that the entire question you asked him had the wrong facts. Happens all the time. You call the Rav, you ask the Rav, what do I do? My wife washed a milchiger spoon with a fleishiger sponge, and he tells you an answer. Your wife comes home, says, the Rav said that you have to kasha the spoon. Says, why? Your wife says. Say, because you washed it with a fleishiger sponge. So your wife says, oh, there's one problem. Spoon's fleishig. So you're going to tell me that you have to kasha that spoon? You don't have to kasha that spoon. If the Sanhedrin HaGodol would tell you to kasha that spoon, you don't have to kasha that spoon. Because Sanhedrin HaGodol was paskening that if you wash a fleishiger spoon with a milchiger sponge, you got to kasha it. But the Sanhedrin HaGodol is moide, that if you wash a fleishiger spoon with a fleishiger sponge, you don't have to kasher it. And whatever the case is, it is. That's all. So is it possible that some scientists or some people ask Chazal Shailas and Metzias and they use the information they received in order to paskin Shailas? The answer is no. No. And we see this from the case of the lice. The Rabbi Yitzchak Lampranti, his name was, the author of the Encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchak, which I do not have here. Asked his Rebbe a Shaila regarding killing lice on Shabbos. The Gemara on Shabbos said that you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos based on scientific facts, namely that lice do not reproduce the same way that other animals do. We mentioned this last week. Rather, lice come from dust. And the Pachad Yitzchak asked his Rebbe that due to the possibility that this scientific fact, which was accepted as fact in the days of Chazal by the Goyim, has since been proven to be incorrect, perhaps we should be machmir and not kill lice on Shabbos just in case. Just in case. Now, he doesn't even say that he wants to do this. He says, Lulay demistapin, if I wouldn't be scared, I would say that we should do this. And he approached his Rebbe with it, not as a conclusion. He never made such a conclusion, ever. You will see this Pachad Yitzchak misquoted in many places, as if the Pachad Yitzchak held like this. He did not. He asked his Rebbe a shiloh, and he said, Lulay demistapin, I would say this, but he never, ever had such a conclusion. His Rebbe, however, answered, and everybody knows, Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishoimin, even if it would be a conclusion, there is no just in case. Chazal's knowledge of science was based on Ruach HaKodesh, not scientific observation, which is much less reliable and much limited in its scope, much less than Ruach HaKodesh. He assures the Talmud that without a doubt, Chazal's scientific opinion is more accurate than that of the scientists. He mentions that in the disagreement between Chazal and the scientists, whether the sun revolves around the earth or vice versa, which we discussed last week. He said that the sages conceded to the scientists, but it's clear that regardless of that, the Torah sages are right. And therefore, he says, there's no reason to even suspect that Chazal's statement regarding the lice is inaccurate, and that there's no reason to be machmir since there's no chance of Chil Shabbos at all. Now, it was brought up last week that there are achroinim, quote-unquote, that hold that nowadays you should not kill the lice. These achroinim hold like this, not because they disagree with any of the above, but because it could be nishtanu hativim, meaning, not even nishtanu hativim, it's not really even nishtanu hativim. The lice that we call lice are not the lice that Chazal were referring to. There's a good question. I know a Rav, I don't want to say who holds that oats are not chometz. I'm not kidding. Those oats are not chometz. He's actually a big Talmud Chacham. Don't listen to this. Don't listen to him here. Oats are chometz. But this Rav happens to hold oats and a why? He says, if you take a look at what an oats are, and you take a look at what Chazal described as oats, and even if you take a look at wheat, barley, spelt, and rye, they look mamish like this from the same family. Oats are a completely different picture. I saw this picture. All the other grains, like they stick up on the sides, and oats stick down on the sides. They look different. So he holds, halacha l'maisa, you're allowed to eat oatmeal on Pesach. It's kidneyous maybe, but if you're svarda, you're permitted. Don't follow him. This is not true. But his question is a valid one. There's an answer, but the question is, when Chazal say wheat, chitim, how do we know what's chitim? When Chazal, the answer is because generation after generation, we always knew what chitim was, so some rabbi in the 20th century is not going to come up and say that suddenly nobody knew. That's really the answer. And that's the same answer with oats. However, we don't have such a messiah about lice. Well, could be we do, and that's why. You want to know who these achroinim are? Do you know who these achroinim are that hold like this? Try to do some research. So I have here this sefer. The only person who we could find, here, take a look, Shinta Zion. The Chuvas, was it? Shevet HaKahosi. You know who the Chuvas Shevet HaKahosi is? He's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael today. He's a Dayan of the Bells. The Bells are Dayan. And if you take a look at it inside, he doesn't say that he's sure you're allowed to kill the lice, that you're not allowed to kill it. He says, look, it could be that there are a lot of things, but it could be that what we call lice are not really the lice. And therefore, maybe it's Chil Shabbos. Are there simonim of lice? Listen, there are people that don't eat certain birds that don't have simonim, right? Everybody knows. We're familiar with the turkey, right? There are a lot of people that don't eat turkey because it doesn't have the simonim of Chazal. So it doesn't have we don't have a Messiah on that. So he's saying it could be that kind of like lice is like turkey, he's saying. Just to paraphrase his argument, he says, look, maybe yes, maybe no. We should be machmir. Al-Sofik. And if you look at the rest of the Sefer, you'll see that this is consistent with his approach to other Shailas as well. But it's not like the Magen Avraham or the Ramo or the Mishnah Brura or the Aruch HaShulchan ever say such a thing. Everybody knows. Even after the scientists discovered this thing about lice, that you're allowed to kill them on Shabbos. And even the outlier, the Shevet HaKahosi, he says, he doesn't disagree. He says, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, we don't know, I don't know, could be, so let's be machmir over there. Now the pshat in this, honestly I gotta tell you, the idea that it means that lice are small or something like that, I don't see how that could work. Because, first of all, you know, the Gemara doesn't say it. And say the Gemara doesn't really mean that, there are two problems with that. Problem number one is that when you say a Gemara is not literal, we only do so out of desperation when we have no other choice. And there are other choices here. There are other explanations. The explanation I mentioned last week is extremely traditional, and therefore we would not do this. We would not say the Gemara is not literal. We would not do that. We would not say such a thing. It's like saying Tosfos has a kasha, so therefore because of Tosfos' kasha, we have to say the Gemara is not literal. Tosfos has a teretz, so it's not a problem. There's a teretz. So we wouldn't do this in the normal learning of, the normal due process of learning. Two, when you say a Gemara is not literal, it's figurative. There still has to be a relationship between what Chazal said versus what the reality is. So for example, if Chazal say osur, so sometimes osur doesn't mean literally osur, it means midas chasidus not to do it. But there's no such thing that if it says osur, it really means apple. There has to be some kind of, if it says 100, not literal, it may mean any large number. If it says blue, maybe it means, I don't know, color similar to the sky, something like that. But if it says because they do not reproduce, and the Gemara spends a lot of words on this, where it could have said it a lot smaller and a lot simpler. They do not reproduce, they come from dirt. I don't see how one could say that that means really that they're small. And if so, all other small things equally size of lice, we should also be able to kill, and there's no such halacha anywhere. It's just din and lice. Now, there is such a pshat, but it doesn't go that way. I don't even know really if anybody said it. Somebody said it in the name that he heard such a thing from Rav Dessler. But not like this. Not like this. It's not this pshat. It's not. It's a different pshat.
Yeah, there
we go. Right.
It's a different
pshat. Right, it's a different pshat. But it's similar to, it says that when Chazal, I mean, it wasn't written by Rav Dessler, you know, it was, he says that the pshat is that really when Chazal, kind of like what we said about the Ramban and Hiyuli, that when Chazal said this halacha, they really didn't mean it has anything to do with dirt or reproduction or anything like that. But the reason Chazal had a Mesoira, and a halacha l'moshe Misinai, Mesoira, whatever, one of these Kabbalahs, that this is the halacha. Just for descriptive purposes, I guess, Chazal couched the halacha in terms that people could understand. But they didn't really mean that. So even if this reason doesn't really apply, whatever the real reason is, that's the way it goes. Obviously, it's a big daichet. The teretz I said last week is much, much better than that. Because you don't have to come on to any chedushim or anything like that. And I don't even know really, again, it's not firsthand from Rav Dessler. He didn't write this. Somebody said, you know, you heard from Rav Dessler, every little kenetch over there makes a big difference in the pshat. But now the question is this. If this is so, how in the world is it possible? How is it possible that the Gemara could say that in the machloikis between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam regarding whether how the sun sets and it rises and all those Gemaras, that the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam are right? How could it be? If Chazal got their explanation from the Gemara, from the Torah, how could it be that the Goyim were? How could it be? How could it be? How could that be? We have a very big stira over here. If it's true, and clearly, is the Medrash, Rishonim, Achroinim, the Ravid, the Ramban, the first Ravid, the Ramban, the Chasam Sofer, all of these things, everybody's saying this. How in the world is it possible that the Goyim were right? So last week we said Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says really the Goyim were not right. And I did a bit of research and I found out that the Gro agrees with Rabbeinu Tam. That he says that the Goyim have no idea really what's going on up there. He explains it different than we did last week. Last week we said that Rabbeinu Tam held because of the seven Rekiyim up in Shemayim. The Gro says that it has to do with a telly. There's this big serpent that circumvents the earth, the universe, and the paths of the planets are dependent on that. And there's all Kabbalah stuff from the Gro, and he says clearly that the Goyim have absolutely no idea about the reality. And more than that, the Talmidim of the Gro answer the Gro's Kashan Rabbeinu Tam with this principle. The machloikis between the Gro and Rabbeinu Tam is not whether you could say that the reality is the internal reality, we'll call it. It's not a spiritual reality, it's an internal reality. Other dimensional reality. Everybody agrees that. The reason why the Gro did not accept Rabbeinu Tam was because Kabbalistically, in that disagreement about the other dimensional reality, the Gro did not agree with Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. Rabbi Leib Epstein, from Talmidei HaGro, he explains Rabbeinu Tam's shita about the shkia, and he answers all of the kashas from the Metzias. He says, quote, all of these things appear that it's not true according to your senses. Even though the galgalim are physical things, internally a bunch of Kabbalah stuff. Everything that Chazal said about the sun and the stars, and not talking about what you can see, hakol b'zeh ha-pnimius. Shalahem ikar ha-hanhoga. Misha'eni yoidea darkei ha-chochma eino yochel la-hasig el ha-chitzoinis. Somebody who doesn't know much about wisdom can only see the outer shell. V'advorm nir, hadvorm ha-nir l'fi-gashmius. The Gro says, the Goyish scientists disagreed with Chazal about the status of the Chaloine Rakia, Aval Al Yidei Hatanin. That's that Tanin. Yitur Tzakol, it's all answered. And I found, this is all over, the Gro in Aderes Eliyahu explains. Tanin? Serpent. Tanin v'odom v'chayes reimim. Chazal say, Ton Rabbonon, I'm reading now from the Aderes Eliyahu, the Gro. Chachmei Yisrael oimrim galgal kavua u'mazol ois choyzrim v'chachmei umois hoylim oimrim galgal choyzrim mazol ois kavuim. Zeha Maimer Yifla Ma'oid Be'enei Ha'am. Eicham Ruchach Me'Yisrael Dover Ha'menaged L'chush. Im Ha'galgalim Kavua Mi'oilim Hoya Shemesh Vayri Ha'yoreach Mahalcham Shav. It's clearly not true what these Chach Me'Yisrael are saying. Aval Yivne V'yiskoinein Divrei Chachomim U'lechach Me'umois Ha'oilim Lo'y Nigle Zois Talumois Ha'chochmo L'chein Oimrim Galgal Choizu Ma'zolois Kavuim L'fi Ruos Ha'muchash Shemahalich Ha'galgalim Einam Shavim. Aval chachmei Yisrael oimrim shagalgal kavua kavanosam v'chulei v'chulei al pi kabola. The Gro is saying, he disagrees with what we said, the pshat is according to Rabbeinu Tam. But he does agree that the Goyim are wrong because when Chazal said that they meant the penimius of the matter. And the truth of the matter is, even without this teretz of the penimius of the matter, it's not a kasha. I'll tell you what's going on. If anybody wants to show that Chazal were not always 100% right, I have a question. Why do you have to go to this Gemara or that Gemara? I bet you that there are a few thousand places where Chazal admitted they were wrong. A few thousand, I'm not exaggerating. I would say probably about, 3,000-4,000 at least. Those are called Havaminas in the Gemara. The Gemara says, all over every daf, Rava held like this is the Havamina, but then in the Maskana he changed his mind. So if Chazal changed their mind, it's clear they could be wrong. So what do you need rayas like scratching your left ear with your right hand? It says over here, and emission and hirius, and human beings are not infallible. Why do you have to go through such difficult gyrations to bring a proof of something that every elementary school kid knows that ever learned any daf gemara? Havamina means they're wrong. Tiyufta, they're schlugged up. The teretz is that that's not what's going on here. The teretz is that all of Torah Shebal Peh, not only the conclusions were min hashamayim, but the forethoughts and the afterthoughts and the shakla v'taryo, all of that was min hashamayim. And if Chazal came to a conclusion, let's say, that vasisa, kasher zomam v'loy kasher oso, hor guei ne'erogin, that if Edom Zomim killed somebody else, you don't kill the Edom Zomim. They didn't kill somebody else. You do kill the Edom Zomim. The entire Shakla V'tayr that the Gemara would go through is all part of their Ruach HaKodesh Min HaShemayim. And it all leads to their conclusion. And the fact that they had a Havamina, the Havamina is also Torah. And the Havamina, we learn a lot of things from Havaminas. And the Maskanas, we learn a lot of things from the Maskanas. And the fact that Min HaShemayim, through their Ruach HaKodesh, not only did they come to their conclusion, but they came to the conclusion in this particular manner. All of that is guided Min HaShemayim from Hashem. Every word, the entire debate and building and Shakla V'tayr is all Min HaShemayim. And therefore, you can't ask a kasha on a Havamina that, well, you see, Chazal could be wrong, because in the Maskana they were right, and the Havamina leads to the Maskana, and the Havamina is that step to the Maskana. And not only were they right in what they concluded, but they were right in the way, the entire steps. They were right in thinking this, and then thinking, oh, that's not true, and therefore this has to be true, and all of those were correct steps, and that's all Min HaShemayim, and that's all Torah. But the conclusion is always going to be right, and the Havamin is always going to lead to conclusion. And therefore, if you have a Gemara that says, the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam disagreed, and at the end, the Chazal decided that what the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam say are correct, does anybody tell me that that means that the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam's arguments are what convinced Chazal? Doesn't say any such thing. So here we have a case, for example. I'll tell you. That, Goyim say, the Christians say, that the Sot rebelled against God. The truth is, of course they got in a very corrupted manner, but they're right. There's a medrash like that. Now, of course, they don't have the real story. But if I say the Goyim are right and they say this, and if I'm looking for this medrash, and I say it is true, it's not true, and you know what? What they say is right. Now again, nobody should think that their version of it is right. Does that mean that I learned from them? It doesn't mean I learned from them. It means I had two tzedakim. My reason for saying side A, I had 100,000 reasons. The reason for saying side B, I had 100,000. The Goyim, they have one of these sides for a totally different reason maybe, or maybe for one out of the 100,000. I have 100,000 reasons for concluding a certain way in the Maskana. The Havamina was one way. The Maskana happens to be like what they hold. But it doesn't mean at all that the Jews were convinced by the Goyim because of why they knew. It's a Havamina and a Maskana. It happens to be that the Maskana squares with what the Goyim believed. That's very nice and very interesting. But it doesn't mean that that's why the Jews decided that.
So why give them credence?
What?
Why give them credence?
So it's the same reason why, the same reason why the Ramban gave credence to the Greeks about Hiyuli, and the same reason why we're talking about this alleged Rav Dessler's teretz about why they said that the reason for the halach about lice is the dirt. It's a way to illustrate to people and to express what's going on. In other words, if I tell you, and I said this last week, that you know what the Goyim say nowadays, that there's more than four dimensions out there. There's all sorts of dimensions out there. The Jews believe that. Now, do I mean literally dimensions the same way the Goyim do? No. But I'll use it as a way to explain things. The Chofetz Chaim said, why do we have so much, Chofetz Chaim asked, why do we have so much technology today? Min HaShemayim, why is there so much technology? So the Chofetz Chaim said, because Min HaShemayim we need, we know everything, he says, of course, is to help our Torah, our Avodas Hashem, and the technology helps us. Not like you're thinking that you could say Shirim over the internet, although that's also true. Said the Chofetz Chaim, if you tell a Jew, it says in Pirkei Avos, you should know, Ayin Roi Avos in Shemas, V'chol Masecha B'Sefer Nechtovim. You're always being watched. Everything you do is written in a Sefer. So 1,000 years ago, a person had to use his imagination, Yesh Me'ayin, to understand that. Now, you have videos, you got phonographs. It's much easier to explain what it is. There's a video, there's a computer. Everybody understands much more with it. Radio waves. Somebody said, well, what's a malach? How could Hashem do things? How could Kvitzas HaDerech? All of these things that were difficult conceptually to understand years ago are now easy to understand.
So this is an alternate pshat that we're now saying that what the Goyim said is correct. This is alternate to what we said.
Yes, alternate.
We can agree that the Goyim are right.
It could be. It's not a kasha to begin with, but happens to be Rabbeinu Tam de Vilna Goyim. This version says. Now, if you're going to find me, you know, tell me. Well, yes, it shows that the Goyim were really right. Big deal, you know. And it's very intellectually honest of the sages to give them credit for being right, even if they were right not for the right reasons. If me and you are arguing, and I figure that you're right, not even for the reason you say, and I come over to you and I say you're right, you know what? We were arguing for all this time. That's a concession. So you find in the Rishonim that it's an example of the intellectual honesty of Chazal. It doesn't mean that. Doesn't have to mean that Chazal were convinced by the Goyish reasons. If I come over to you and I say, you know what? You know this whole thing that we were arguing about, Maskana, I hold like you. Not for your reasons, but I hold like you. That's kind of bizyonis for me. And that's all it means.
They left out the real Shaka Vitaria.
Yeah, the Shaka Vitaria has nothing to do, even if I tell you, you know what, I think you're right, but not for your reasons. It's still a concession.
Does Darche Shalom?
No, it doesn't have to be Darche Shalom. That's Darche Shalom. Darche Shalom's a different story. And Darche Shalom. So that's all it is. And it has to be that way. You've got to say something like this. One of these terutzim, or could be as another terutzim. We didn't exhaust all the possible answers, but what you have to consider when reading that Gemara is that there's a yesoid muchlet that's unmovable and unshakable that says that Chazal got their knowledge of science from the Torah. What are you going to do about that? All these midrashim. And now the kash is, how could that Gemara be? Says Rabbeinu Bechayai, Karakemach. He's talking about Avelus and Musar, and then he says that there were the philosophers gave a moshul on this, and he said it's a good moshul. But then he says, Ein lanu lehevi raya min ha'anofim. We really should not bring rayas from the anofim, meaning the branches. That's a euphemism for goyish chokhma. There's the roots. All the chokhmah comes from the Torah. Rak min hashoyrish ha'amiti hu Torah senu hakadoshu medroshe chazal. We should really only bring proofs from our Torah and the medroshim shahare kol chokhmois ha'umois einom ela peiros ha'Torah shalonu. Ve'ein tzorech loyma ha'musur v'ha'mesholim shalohem. All the sciences are only derivatives from the Torah and ain't Sarach Loimar, and needless to say, never mind the Musar, the ethics, and the parables that they have. And then he says that Chazal have this type of thing in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbeinu Bechayai, another Rishon. Now, I know in the back of people's minds, they may be thinking, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam. What are we going to do with the Rambam? What?
The Ben Harambam.
I'll tell you about the Ben Harambam. So let's see, do we have the time? Yeah, we better have the time. Here's a riddle, here's a question for everybody out there in internet land and everybody here. What is the Orthodox Jewish Bible? What is our authoritative code of law that we have to follow? What was that? Say it again. Always we hold like the Shulchan Aruch. And what about in those places the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything? You know what? It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch you have to say Moidani in the morning. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch you have to have a Mechitzin Shul.